in our Bibles then, we'll start in Matthew 14 tonight. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew is written to the Jews, helping them understand that Jesus has come indeed to be their king, the king of the Jews. That's where we read in Matthew chapter 2 there, where the wise men came from the east to worship the king of the Jews. Over in Matthew 14, Jesus is now in his ministry, and he's working and serving and helping and being just proving to the world that he's not just a man. Amen. So if you found your place, would you stand with me in Matthew 14? Excuse me. Let's begin reading there in verse 13. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard of it, he'd heard of John the Baptist and that he had been beheaded. He heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, and that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or food. But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for this time together with your people. Lord, I pray that you'd fill our hearts and our minds, and Lord God, our spirits would be filled with your presence, and your spirit would rule and reign in fullness and power here tonight. Lord, we certainly don't deserve it, but we desperately need you, Lord, tonight. And I pray for the good day you've given us, Lord, but now we're coming to you humbly asking you, please speak to us again, help us again, Lord. We know that you're faithful. We know, Lord God, that you are able to meet the need in every heart here and continue to grow us, Lord, and strengthen our hearts and our minds and our decision, Lord God, to follow Jesus. I pray there be one struggling here tonight. I pray you'd strengthen them. There be one here, Lord God, that's battling sin and temptation, that you'd, God, turn their heart to Jesus. But whatever the need may be, I pray that you'd meet it in every heart. Help me, I pray, Lord. I pray for your help tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's amazing how Jesus is, he's burdened and he's brokenhearted over John the Baptist, his cousin, being having been beheaded there by Herodias and that evil daughter of hers. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But now Jesus is moving on in his ministry. And can I say something to you right there before we go any further? Burdens are going to come.
Right.
Broken hearts are a part of it, amen. You're going to have to just understand that, but you can't just stop because of it.
Right.
We can't stop doing what God... Jesus didn't come, you know, just to be John the Baptist's cousin. Jesus came for a much higher reason, a much, much greater cause. And although his heart was broken and he was went away and he went to pray and got away from everybody, but he continued to go forth. The Bible says in verse 14, there was still more work to do. There's still more people who needed him. Amen. And we need to keep that in mind. Listen, the you know, if I was to die today, if I was just to pass away in my sleep tonight, and don't worry about it, I'm going to be with the Lord. But you know what? You better keep going forward. Amen. It doesn't matter. Listen, there's a greater cause. It's not about me or you. It's about the work that God has for us to do as a church family, as a body of Christ in this city, all around the world. Amen. You better keep moving forward. The Bible says in verse 14, Jesus went forth. I love that. If you remember, look over in Matthew 26 for a second. I want to show you something else here. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. That's the garden of Gethsemane, where he went to pray, in Matthew 26, 36, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, this was the night of his arrest. This was the night before the cross. And sorrowful and very heavy is exactly what it means. Understand, he was sorrowful. He was heavy-hearted with the he knew the cross was coming. And right there, and sorrowful and very heavy is where a lot of people just stop. I mean, they just stop. And it's not that the problem's not real. It's not that he was, let's read on to verse 38. He said, he admitted to them, to Peter, James, and John, his closest inner circle of disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." I mean, he said, "I'm this burden is too much for me to carry." He says, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." He said, I'm not going to give up on this. I'm not going to quit doing what God's called me to do. But I'm calling you to help me, to watch with me. Amen. There's a beautiful picture here of Jesus. He's going to do the work, dearly beloved. But he wants us to tarry and stay and watch with him. Amen. Work with him. There's a tremendous illustration here. In verse 39, I want you to see something precious. He went a little further. Jesus always just kept going a little further. There's some days in your life where you know you don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to make it. You know what you need to do? You need to keep going a little further.
Amen.
Keep going a little further. Amen. And fell on his face and he prayed. And you know, he didn't quit though. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, greater than anything we're ever going to go through. I mean, the sorrow, the pain. Go back to Matthew 14 now. Jesus is burdened here. He's seen, he knows John the Baptist is gone. He knows that old wicked Herodias, Jezebel in the flesh, has gotten her way. Amen. She thinks she got her way, at least for now. But he continues to go forth in verse 14. And he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now remember that. We'll get back to that in a minute as the Lord leads. In verse 15 now, when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. Remember, there's a great multitude now. The time is now past. He's saying it's getting dark is what they're saying. Send this multitude away. They've got to go back home, back into the villages and the cities and buy themselves food. They need supper. It's time for them to eat. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. He said, they don't need to go away. Can I tell you something? The world's not going to go away.
Right.
People are not going to go away. Right. Sometimes you may feel like me once in a while. You just wish they would.
Yeah.
I wish they'd go away. I wish I could just, you know, I'll go away once in a while. But Jesus did. Hey, don't, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with going away, getting away, amen. And he told his disciples in another passage, he said, come ye apart, amen, and rest a while. And what he was saying was, you better come apart before you come apart.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you what, it's okay to get away once in a while, take a little break, and you don't get away from Jesus. But you get to just maybe get away from the hustle and the bustle, take a little vacation once in a while with your family, amen, with your loved ones. But you got to come back and realize there's people there, and they're not going to go away. But Jesus said something interesting. He said, they need not depart. They're not going to go away. He said, I'm going to use you instead to show you what my heart is. I'm going to use you instead to give them to eat. In verse 17, they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Of course, they're thinking on the physical level.
Yeah.
They're thinking on their what they could do in their own strength and power, and he's obviously thinking about something completely different than what he knew what he was going to do.
Yeah. Right.
He always knows what he's going to do, y'all. Amen. This situation did not take him by surprise. It took the disciples by surprise.
Yeah. Amen.
They thought it's time for us to go home, Jesus. It's time for them to go home, Jesus. Hey, let's go get some rest. And he said, wait a minute, I've got other plans. He's got other plans. So you need to get used to that. A lot of times, he's got completely different plans than we even dreamed of. Now, I promise you, the disciples had no idea that this is what was going to happen tonight.
Right.
It's not what their plan was. Then they started making excuses. We don't have enough food to feed them. I'm not going to get into that too much, but that's usually what we do when we see something that's overwhelming. We don't have, I mean, come on, do you think that we have enough money to operate this church? Do you think we have enough people to operate this church? Do you think we have enough people in our human, our strength, and our finances to run those buses? Amen. And to disciple those people and to get these people saved and then baptize and fill up this house and print 100 people on friend day and have 5 people saved and then get 30 children on a bus. Amen. And then, I mean, we can't do that. That's completely impossible for us to do. But Jesus, amen, thank God, Jesus has other plans.
Yeah.
Jesus knows that there are people out there, amen. We're not going to tell them to go away. God's going to use us to do something for them.
Amen.
We can't tell them to go away. The disciples said, tell them to go away. Now, we may feel like telling them to go away after Sunday after lunch and then after Sunday afternoon, and we're going to feel like going away for sure, I guarantee you. But Jesus is going to do something here, and he says in verse 18, bring them hither to me.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
Bring them hither to me. Bring them here to me. Now, the food that they had was not much. He said, you bring the food to me. The first thing that we got to look at is bringing it to Jesus, amen. Whatever we have, we had to bring it to Jesus. You were lost in sin. You were hellbound. You were unworthy, undeserving, broken, beat down, full of pride and self-righteousness. And you had nothing but whatever this old world given you. But the first thing you had to do is bring it to Jesus. Amen. If you haven't brought it to Jesus yet, dear the beloved, you better listen tonight, amen. The first thing you had to do is bring it to Jesus. Everything they had, all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, I know you don't have much, glory to God. I know you don't have much. Listen, you don't even have enough to feed yourself, let alone all these multitudes of people. And we didn't, did we, amen? Before we got saved, we had nothing. We didn't have enough to take care of ourselves, and we were trying to do everything on our own. And then Jesus said, just, hey, wake up a minute and understand what you do have, just bring it to me.
Yeah.
Bring it to me. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, I'm glad on May 13th, 2004, amen, at 3551 Cindy Drive in Fort Worth, Texas, I brought the little bit that I had. I said, Jesus, I can't do anything with this. I'm bringing it to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, until that time, I was worthless. I was completely hopeless. But Jesus said, bring it to me.
Amen.
Glory to God. Verse 19. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves. So at least they listened to him. They brought him to Jesus. But I want you to notice, looking up to heaven, he blessed. That's all it says. He blessed. Now, this is a different account than John chapter 6. This feeding of the 5,000 is all four of the Gospels.
Yeah.
But I like this one here because it lays it out a little bit differently. It just simply says he blessed.
Right.
Now, we know that he was praying over that food. He was, by the way, pray over your food, amen.
Yeah.
Thank God for your food. Ask God to bless the food that he's given you. Because you can eat things that aren't exactly healthy. I don't recommend it. I recommend, amen, real food, live food, good fresh vegetables and fruit. And it's okay to eat the meat and all those things, but understand something. Bless it before you eat it. This is completely off the subject, but just ask God to bless that food to your body. Because it can just go ahead and make you sick.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's sanctified through prayer and the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen. We pray and ask God to bless it. Thank God for it and ask Him to bless it. But there's something else here I want you to see. He took what we had and He blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Hey. Folks, listen to me.
Come on.
That's a picture of salvation.
Yeah. Sure.
Amen.
That's salvation.
Sir.
He took what we had that we couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
We couldn't do anything with it. We were hopelessly trying to make, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes stretch to meet all of our needs. And we couldn't do it. We could not make ends meet. We couldn't make a head from tails, up from down. We were pretty miserable before Jesus blessed. Think about that. Listen, I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Jesus blessed. It just says he blessed. I love it. He blessed. Romans chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, He hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If they would have taken those five loaves and two fishes, and then they would have personally, the disciples, made that bread, amen, feed all those multitudes of people, then they could have boasted about that the rest of their lives. Are you with me? If you could have taken what you had before you got saved and made it work and honored God with it and taken it and got your way into heaven with what you had, then all you would be was a big puffed up ball of pride. Abraham was not justified by works. Verse 3, the Bible says, what saith the Scripture? That's where we need to get down to, amen. That's what matters. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's imputed righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Can you imagine God owing you salvation because you were such a good, hard-working person? I mean, that's what people are trying to say today. That's the audacity of people today to say, hey, I'm working my way and God owes me heaven. Are you kidding me? I mean, we know the truth in this church, but you understand, that's what we're facing every day. Every time we try to preach Jesus and preach the gospel and win souls, and we're facing this enormous, incredible amount of pride in the hearts of people, saying, you know what, I'm so good. God's going to repay me a debt, and he's going to let me go to heaven.
Come on.
I mean, it sounds dumb even saying it, doesn't it?
That's right.
It sounds... Let's read on here in Romans chapter 4. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but bringeth it to Jesus. Amen. I'm rewording. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just making you see what I'm talking about here. Him that worketh not, instead of taking what I have and trying to make it work, but believe on him that justifieth the ungodly. Justifying the ungodly, that's you and me. Ungodly, hell-bound, undeserving, worthless sinners. We didn't work our way and earn this. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We believed on him, and he justified the ungodly. Unto that person, his faith, his believing God, and is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
Listen, when those disciples heard Jesus say, bring it hither, they had two choices.
Right.
I'm going to keep trying to do it my way, or I'm going to believe God and give it to him.
Amen.
That's it. That's the only two choices they had. And that's what Romans chapter 4 is telling us. Abraham, amen, Abraham had choices too. We all have choices. Before we got saved, we had a choice. Only two choices. I'm going to keep doing it my way, trying to make it work, or I'm going to take it and give it to Jesus.
Amen.
My heart, my life, my all.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe him that he's the one that's going to make it work.
Amen.
That's look what it says here in verse 6 in Romans 4 there. Even as David also describeth the blessedness. There it is. The blessedness of man. Unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. What did I say? God, the Bible tells us in Matthew 14, Jesus, God in the flesh, blessed.
Yeah.
He blessed.
Right.
I love it. That's what Romans chapter 4 is saying. Hey, we are blessed. Because God has taken what we had with which we could do nothing, and now he's taken it and he's blessed us because we believed him and gave it to him. Now God has imputed righteousness unto us. He has put his righteousness on our account without works. Without works. I mean, you cannot, there's no way to confuse that. Without works. My works have nothing to do with it. Nothing. Verse 7 says, blessed are they. Jesus, remember, he blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins, amen, glory to God, are not ever never going to be imputed to them again. They're covered.
Amen.
They're gone.
Yeah.
That is the blessing of God. That is my salvation. That is where all blessings begin.
Yeah.
And when I give my old filthy, stupid ideas, like all of his disciples said, well, you know, Jesus, we just don't have enough to do all this. And their excuse is, well, we had a lot of those, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Before we got saved, we had a lot of those.
Amen.
I can't. I don't think it's not real. But the day that we sit here, Lord, here's my life, here's my heart, here's my future, here's my eternity, I'm giving it to you. Then the Bible says that he blessed.
Amen.
He took my sins, he took my iniquities, he took my filthy, worthless life, and he covered it all by the blood of Jesus. Amen. He forgave my iniquities. He's no longer imputing my iniquities. They're no longer on my account. He's wiped them off. Amen. He's erased them from my account. My iniquities, look what it says in verse 8, blessed. Saved, forgiven is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
The righteousness of God has been imputed to me, and my sins are no longer imputed to me. Amen. God blessed.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. God, in his grace and his mercy, he blessed me. He gave me everlasting life.
Amen.
Without works and nothing that I did. I simply believed what he said, and I obeyed him, and I gave it to him, and he blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory. I'm saved. I have a reason to shout, amen. I have a reason to get excited. The guys, we were talking about Friend Day during the prayer meeting before we pray tonight. And somebody said, I know what preacher, if we get our goal, you have to preach with your hands tied behind your back.
Amen, brother.
And then somebody said, no, you have to preach in the same spot the whole time.
Amen.
Okay, let me stand here for a little while. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. Amen. Because I've been set free, amen. I've been blessed. I can't stand still when I talk about Jesus, amen. I don't know how you can sit there, amen. I can't stand. Listen, Jesus took what I had. It wasn't enough. It wasn't going to do anybody any good. And he blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. He saved me.
Amen.
He saved me.
Oh,
now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took the burdens all away.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, he blessed.
That's right.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Amen. Hearts are weary. The Bible says, but burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Yeah.
God blessed. Amen. He took what I had, which is nothing more than a burden. I had no way to make what I had work. And he said, give it to me. I gave it to him and he blessed. Amen.
Yeah.
He saved my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man. Now, go back to Matthew 14 with me. That's just the beginning. He blessed. He blessed. He took what I had, worthless, weak, frail, and he blessed. Now, I want you to see the second thing. So, he said, bring it to me, and then he blessed. But look now, then he break.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-oh. Oh. Man, the shouting not going to be a whole lot here. But,
oh.
But he break.
Amen.
You see, my salvation was complete and entire immediately.
Right.
Immediately. He just blessed.
Amen.
He gave me that righteousness. He removed my sins. He forgave me. But then he said, okay, now that I've blessed you, I'm going to use you, but before I do that, I'm going to break you.
Mm.
And Brother Bruce, that's exactly right. We ought to just go ahead and say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen, Lord. Because you see, Jesus, again, had completely different plans than what the disciples had.
Right.
He had completely different idea. He knew, the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, he knew what he was going to do.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, hello, yeah, of course, he's Jesus. He knew what he was going to do. This is all, basically it already happened. It's done. Amen. He knew what he was going to do.
Amen.
But we didn't. The disciples didn't. We brought what we had to him on the day you got saved. He blessed. But then he said, okay, I've blessed. Now, you belong to me.
Amen.
I'm going to have to break you first.
That's right. Amen.
Because although he imputed that righteousness to us, he no longer imputes our sins to us, but we still have a whole lot of issues that hinder him working. We still have a whole lot of self-righteousness and that old flesh and that pride. And we still have problems in our own minds and understanding and trying to be in charge of our life.
Oh, Richie.
So Jesus says, okay, I bless you now, but you trust me. You trusted me for that. And by the way, they did. They believed him, and they brought him what they had.
Right.
And they trusted him with the bread. And now he said, okay, listen, now you're going to have to trust me with the breaking.
Amen.
Trust me with the breaking.
Amen.
Our idea of blessing is sometimes off center. It's not on key. It's not right. When God blesses us, we're saved, yes, but we belong to him. And as long as we allow him, listen, the bread was in his hands.
Right.
My life is in his hands. Right? That's what we say anyway. My life is in your hand. My life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul.
Amen.
Listen. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm crucified with Christ. My life is in his hands. Well, you need to be careful and understand, yes, and that's where it needs to be, and that's what you have. But in his hands, if he's going to use you, he's going to bless you, yes, but he's going to break you.
Yep, that's right.
So that you can be usable.
Yeah, amen.
Because remember now, let's look past here for just a second. He blessed, he broke, and then he gave the loaves to the disciples and disciples to the multitude in verse 19. The multitude. And the Bible tells us in verse 21, they had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So the blessing for the food or what the disciples had, the bread, and then the breaking, listen, it benefited multitudes.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
What they gave to Jesus benefited 5,000 plus. And I want us in our lives to benefit multitudes. That's God's will, that our lives would benefit thousands of people. That our lives would benefit multitudes of people. That multitudes of people would see and understand, hey, Jesus is the real deal, amen. Jesus has the power. He does indeed answer prayer. But he's going to use you and me to benefit multitudes of people. And he's already blessed us now. And we want to see that benefit. People saved and brought to Christ. But the breaking part is still in there between those two. The breaking of our pride. The breaking of our will. The breaking of our plans. Our ideas. See, we think, again, even though we're blessed of God, we're saved, we still think, okay, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'll take it from here.
Come on, brother, preach.
Isn't that where the majority, amen, of saved, born again people? Isn't that where they live their lives? Okay, I'll take you from here.
Come on, preach it.
Yes, sir.
I'll take it from here, Lord. Thank you.
Help us.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Instead of breaking, it's bye.
Right.
Instead of benefiting thousands and multitudes, it's bye, Lord. Help. I mean, there was 10 lepers.
Right.
10 lepers. They all had the same leprosy, the same problem, sin. That's what leprosy represents in the Bible. They had no cure for sin, no cure for leprosy. Jesus came along and said, amen, you're all healed. And there was one.
Yep.
That's right.
One that came back. The rest of them said, bye.
Uh-huh.
I'll take it from here. Bye.
Uh-huh.
That's right. God forbid.
Come on, preach it.
And folks, I think we have a good church, but I want you to understand, there's breaking that's going to be happening in your life for the rest of your life as long as you're in Jesus' hands.
Praise the Lord.
You understand that the people that God uses are the ones that He breaks.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
He's got to break us first. He's got to break us first. Oh, you say, well, preacher, I don't know if I'm broken or not, but, well, listen, you may be useful for some, to some degree, but as long as you're fighting that breaking, you are cutting off the benefits and the blessings for multitudes and thousands of other people that you could be used for.
Praise the Lord.
If you were just willing to let God break you.
Amen.
Right.
That's where we're at.
Yep.
You know, that's why, that's, and I'm not gonna, I know I preach a lot of things the same, but that's why we have such a generation today of rock and roll churches and all of that foolish garbage that goes on in the name of church, because that doesn't break anything.
Right.
All that does is make my flesh feel good. It makes me feel good. That doesn't break me. No, I mean, preaching in the old-fashioned, spirit-filled, amen, preaching of the Word of God, it rebukes me and reproves me and it breaks me down. And it makes me realize I need Jesus. I need to let Jesus break me and take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, unto Thee. But it's going to take some breaking.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
In Jesus' hands. He wants to use us. Oh, how He wants to use this church. Oh, how He wants to use this little Amazing Grace Baptist Church, this lighthouse right here on Bolivar Street. Amen. This place, I told the guys as I was coming, my wife and I were coming in this afternoon while y'all were singing in the choir, and we could hear you singing out in the parking lot. And that was a blessing. That was a good thing. That was a good thing to my soul to hear. Amen. The pastor wasn't even here yet. And y'all were practicing choir and singing songs and lifting up Jesus and what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. And you can hear that outside.
Amen.
Amen. This is what God wants, to use what we have in His blessings to benefit multitudes of people. Listen, and I believe He wants to do it for the rest of our lives. It's not just a one-time thing. There's thousands and thousands of people who need us to be filled with God's Spirit and to be used. But listen, it takes us being broken.
Right. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Broken.
Preach it to us, Father. Thank you, Lord.
God broke Job, didn't He?
Amen. Help.
Have you ever, I don't know, I told my wife this the other day, but God took away God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not Satan.
Right.
God took away all of His money, all of His cattle, all of His income, all of His children. His health.
Uh-huh.
Listen, He left His wife. Satan was given the green light to do anything and everything he wanted to Job, except taking his life.
Yeah.
And he left his wife. What do you mean, preacher? Think about it. See, Satan is, the Bible says before he was given that green light, before God lowered the hedge and let Satan in, he was watching Job.
Right.
And because God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "You better believe I've considered your servant. I've been watching him." The Bible says he's going to and fro throughout the earth as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Of course, as he was watching Job and watching Job's children and watching Job, Mrs. Job, he said, "You know what's going to hurt him more than taking her is leaving her."
Help us, preacher.
Yeah. Whoa. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he saw in that woman a woman who was not given to the Lord. And he said, "I'm going to leave her right there because she's going to hurt him more being alive."
Right.
Help us, preacher.
Wow.
Amen.
That's serious, man. He said, "I'm going to leave her right there because she's going to be more of a burden to him than alive than she is dead." She said, curse God and die. I mean, that's coming from your wife.
Right. That's what they said.
Job said, you foolish, you speak as the foolish women. You speak as the women of the world. But that never left his mind. His wife, his best friend, his confidant, his one flesh, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And there she is, said, you know what? If you just give up on God, we'd be better off.
Come on.
And Job had to live with that.
Right.
That's right.
She wasn't broken.
Right.
She wasn't broken. She would not allow herself to be broken. And Satan knew that.
Right.
And he left her there. He left her there. And you see, when you're not broken, and you don't allow yourself to be broken, you will be a stumbling block to who knows how many of God's people. And Satan's just going to leave you there because he likes that.
Help us, preacher.
Come on.
That's right. Come on.
Whew. She wouldn't. She would not allow God to break her. She would not allow that. No way. I give up.
Preach it, Pastor. Preach it.
Come on.
Come on.
And she was looking at her husband. She said, why don't you just quit?
Hello?
Curse God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God forbid.
You know what that means? That means she was cursing God in her heart.
Right.
She said, why don't you join me and curse God with me?
Hello?
Right.
Oh, help us.
Amen.
How many people are like that today? God's trying to use them. God's trying to do something with them. God's trying to break them so he can multiply them and bountifully bless thousands of people with their lives. But they refuse to be broken. You're not going to break me. All she was good for in that whole thing was more burden.
Right.
More heartache.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that heartache hurts more than anything else.
Yeah.
The ones who were supposed to be the closest to you. The ones who were supposed to love you the most. And they're cursing God and they're begging you, just give up.
Right.
Folks, listen to me. Joe had a decision to make, didn't he?
That's right.
I'm going to listen to that woman. It didn't have to be his wife, but I'm telling you, the ones that are closest to you, the ones that always do the most damage.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
And Satan always just seems to leave them right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he knows that.
Right.
Come on.
Good.
And so there's the blessing of salvation, then there's the breaking so that we can benefit multitudes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Preach it, man.
We can't fight that breaking, however. That's where God is going to spend probably most of his time on us.
Yeah.
Because we're so hard-hearted. We're so prideful. We're so unwilling to give in to his desires, his will for our lives. I want you to see something. Not only does the blessing come then to the breaking and then to benefiting multitudes, but then there's also, let's not forget, the bountiful reaping.
Yeah.
Verse 20, Matthew 14, verse 20. They did all eat, and they were filled. Amen. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. I still believe, I know I've told you this, but I still believe each disciple got one.
Amen.
Each disciple got one.
Amen.
They went home with a whole basket full of food. Some of them had wives. I know Peter had a wife. Had a mother-in-law, amen. Only a fool would have a mother-in-law without a wife.
Amen. She
hungered too. Yeah, she was. Yeah, that's another story. But there was bountiful rewards. See, many, many thousands of people were helped and blessed by them allowing what they had to be broken. But it benefited many, but then they also personally reaped bountifully.
Right. Yep.
Look in 2 Corinthians with me tonight. 2 Corinthians. We'll start, look in chapter 9. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6. We used this verse not too long ago as a memory verse. 2 Corinthians 9, it was last missions conference, that's what it was. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That was Job's wife. Job's wife wasn't about to sow anything to the Lord. She wasn't about to give it to the Lord at all.
Right.
See, Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife said, you're crazy. I ain't sowing. I'm not giving my children to the Lord. I'm mad at him. I'm going to live mad at him.
I'm old.
She was sowing very sparingly.
Right.
And so she reaped sparingly. He which soweth bountifully, in verse 6, shall reap also bountifully. See, that's an individual personal reaping there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an individual personal reaping and rewards there. It doesn't apply to everybody doesn't get the same reaping. Everybody doesn't get the same rewards. It depends on how much we sow. And listen, when how much we give, how much of us am I giving to the Lord to allow Him to do whatever He wants with it?
Yeah.
If He wants to break it, then it's His. Listen, when I sow something, I'm giving it to the ground. When I put it in the ground, it's gone. It's out of my hands.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, every man, that's every single individual believer, according as he purposeth where? In his heart.
Amen.
It's a heart matter.
Amen.
That old Mrs. Job had a heart problem, didn't she? A big heart problem. She wasn't about to sow her life and give her life and give her children and give her all the... I mean, can you imagine? She had all those riches. I mean, they were the richest people in the world at that time. Job and his wife and that family. And instead of giving it to God, she said, God took it away. I'm cursing him. And Job said, bless him. Same exact situation. Same exact scenario. Same exact circumstance. Same even family. And one's blessing God, one's cursing God. Why? Heart.
Right.
Heart.
Right,
amen.
One said, I'll be broken. One said, I won't. Well, one was given bountiful blessings and rewards personally. One wasn't. Now, Miss Job had to hang around. She didn't leave him. Again, that might have been better, but you understand, that's not God's will either. What would have been right for her to do is get right with God. Instead, she had to hang around and give him, what, 10 more children. Bless her heart. She got to reap the childbirth, travail of childbirth again. Oh, my, what a blessing that was. No, I think that was God saying, here, I'm going to bless Job with these children. I'm going to give you the travail of childbirth.
Yep.
Whew. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden, isn't it?
Yep.
Eve, I know you were deceived, but here, you're going to suffer in travail and pains of childbirth, amen, the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Ladies, y'all can thank Eve for that. But see, every man, as he, according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Yes, this is money, but this is also everything.
Right.
Everything you in your heart, giving him your heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Letting him, those disciples gave him what they had.
Yeah.
Not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. Look in verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Understand, we're not just reaping finances and money, we're reaping grace.
Amen.
Personally reaping. Have you ever noticed how come some people can go through trials so much more gracefully and others are just always grumpy.
Yeah.
Because they're not giving it to God. They're fighting God. The Bible says that that person is going to be begrudging, bitter, angry. They don't want to be broken. But see, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Verse 8, that ye, this having always all sufficiency, always, look at these words, always all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Glory to God. That is a great verse.
Amen.
But it doesn't come until, amen, until we let God do whatever He wants. We give it to God cheerfully. We sow our lives. We give God all that we are, all that we have, and all that we ever will be. We give it to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Dedicate my heart, my life, my family, my money, this church, and everything to the Lord God Almighty, because I know, although He may break me, He needs to break me.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. He needs to break me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I need to be broken.
Yes. Yes. Let it be.
I need to be broken. I need to be humbled.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I'm an idiot. I'm a box of rocks when it comes to my IQ, amen? You ever notice that the IQ of a box of rocks is pretty low there, down way down in the bottom. And in my own wisdom, it's nothing. It's the IQ of a box of rocks. I need to just say, Lord, here, please take something, do something with this life. Cheerfully give it to You, Lord. I cheerfully give it to You.
Amen.
Take my life, break it, so that many thousands of people can be helped by it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And I know, Lord God, that You will personally give me the grace that I need to do whatever it is that You have for me to do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Wow. Verse 9 in chapter 9 there says, as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, now look in verse 10, don't miss this. God that ministers seed to the sower, He gave you that seed, He gave you that life, He gave you that money, He gave you whatever, that strength, that health, He gave it to you to begin with. He is able, listen, He ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and notice, and multiply your seed sown. And increase the fruits of your righteousness.
That's right.
Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. What that means is, it's God that gave you what you had to begin with, and He's going to take, if you'll sow it and give it to Him, and He's just going to keep on giving you more.
Amen.
He's just going to keep, and it's not just money.
Yes, sir.
It is money, but it's not just money.
Yes, sir.
It's strength, it's health, it's faithfulness.
Amen.
It's faith. It's grace. It's whatever you need for that ministry. He's going to minister you bread for that. He's going to give you what you need. But it all begins with me deciding, am I going to sow sparingly? Okay, Lord, that's all You get. It's my life. No, it's not. Or am I just say, Lord, here am I. I lay myself, Lord God, on the altar. A living sacrifice.
Amen.
And the Bible says that's only your reasonable service.
Amen.
It's only reasonable that you give it all to God. What were you without God? Well, you had your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. Well, I got 5 loaves and got 2 fishes. Okay, you go ahead and you keep your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we'll see what happens.
Oh,
instead, here, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
You bless me.
Amen. Amen.
You break me. But then thousands are going to benefit, and then I'm going to personally reap bountiful rewards for the rest of my life. For everything that He has for me, He's going to give me grace, strength, more seed, etc., etc., etc. How many folks are still back here at the breaking?
Yeah.
Saved, saved, saved. I'm saved, 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 but I'm not giving you anything else.
There you go, come on.
Oh.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
God forbid.
I am so happy in Christ today. Blah, baloney. Not if you're not giving it to God, you're not.
That's right. Preach it.
Now I'm happy as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Amen. You can really sing that. You can really sing that with your heart. Amen. He may have taken your burdens away. He broke you in the meantime. Amen. But listen, but you're still trusting Him. You're still giving Him everything that you are and have and everything He's given you. And He just continues to pour out His grace for all things, all sufficiency, all grace. It just keeps on coming. Amen. And the pipeline of grace is just flooding my life.
Come on, preach it.
Because I gave it to the Lord. I gave it to God. He blessed me. Come on, y'all. He blessed me. He gave me His righteousness. I'm no longer in sin. I'm in salvation. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. Listen, but He said, okay, now, are you still in my hands? If you're still in my hands, the breaking is going to have to happen.
Amen. Preach it. Amen.
And then, because I'm going to use you for multitudes. But don't worry. You're going to reap personally.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sure.
Far more than you ever would have if you kept your little five loaves. I got my five loaves. Well, here's a basket. How about that? Oh, well, I got my five loaves. I'm not going to give you my life. I'm not going to give you my time. I'm not going to give you my body. It's God's, folks. I'm not. I'll draw the line there. Well, Job's wife drew the line too.
Right.
Job's wife drew the line too.
That's right. Amen.
And she was a terrible stumbling block to her husband. As I'm telling you, that's see, we often don't consider how much damage and harm and hurt we're doing to those who, around us who want to serve the Lord.
Right.
Look in Romans 14, and I'm done. Romans 14. Verse 7. Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. Listen, folks, listen, that's where we're at. Jesus died so that we would live for Him. He, for that reason, He died, because and we belong to Him. We are the Lord's.
Amen.
We're not our own. We don't live to ourselves. We don't live on an island. We're people around us. There's everyone around us. Amen. Look in verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Listen, everyone, what are we doing to help that, to bring that to pass? Our missions conference is coming up, amen, and this is not really a missions message, but boy, it sure applies right here. Amen. We have what we have because God's given it to us, and He wants to take what we have and use it for missions around the world, people getting saved, and people going to heaven. And He said, but listen, you can be a part, is what I'm trying to say, you can be a part of those needs. In the Netherlands, and those knees and those hearts in Brazil and Sri Lanka, bowing to the Lord and confessing to God Almighty their need for salvation. You can have a part in that. You can be involved in that. It starts with me just saying, okay, Lord, You take my life. You take what I have. I give it to You. Break it if You must. Bountifully use me, Lord God. I give it all to You. I'm Yours. Verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Yep.
Okay, now we know that, but look, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather. God says, you need to judge yourself, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Preach it.
I wonder how Mrs. Job's judgment seat's going to go.
Help us. All praise.
if she's in heaven.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of them, but this is written to Christians here in Romans. He says, you're not your own, your life belongs to God. But he said, listen, you're going to stand before Jesus. And one of the things he's going to say is, hey, were you a stumbling block to your brethren?
Uh-huh.
And you know, when you refuse to let God do what he wants to do with your life,
that's right.
Which includes breaking,
preaching passion. Amen.
You're discouraging others.
Yeah, that's right.
What did those 10 spies do when they came back out of that promised land? 40 days, they saw the blessings, they saw the fruit, they saw the incredible land, they saw the milk and honey, amen. And they came back and they said, we can't do this. What were they saying? God's not going to break me like that.
Uh-huh.
And they discouraged, amen, how many hundreds of thousands of their brethren?
Yeah.
Because they refused to be broken. You know what? One or two of them may have gone in there and died. Yeah, but you know what? The rest of them would have lived and gone on and conquered the land just like Jesus said and been given the victory just like God promised. Amen. But instead of them giving their life, they said, no way. No. God's not going to break me. And folks, listen, the judgment seat is awaiting those of us who say, nuh-uh, I'm not going to. And someone around you is dying just to give their heart to Jesus, live their own fire, and you just keep pouring water on their fire, water on their fire, water on their fire. You're going to answer for that.
That's right.
We're going to answer for that. See, there's so much involved. It's not just me. That's why it says, none of us liveth to himself.
Right.
No man dies. It's not about me. It's about, Lord, you take me. You've blessed me. Now you break me. You do what you want with me. And I'm not going to be a hindrance to anybody else around me. I'm all yours. I'm all yours, Lord. My life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah. Amen.
That needs to be our heart's cry today and every day. Lord, you bless me. Lord, break me.
Yes.
Break me.
Amen.
Don't let me hinder what you're trying to do in me. Don't let me hinder what you're trying to do in my brethren. Don't let me hinder what you're trying to do in this city. Don't let me hinder what you're trying to do around the world and worldwide mission. Don't let me be hindrance to my loved ones by not giving myself to you. Just help me to trust you, Lord, and so bountifully give all that I have to you, knowing that you will give me the grace that I need.
Praise the Lord.
For every need, every day, every ministry. Everything I need, God is able to give you abundant grace.
Let it be so.
Trust Him.
Thank you, sir.
If your life is in His hands, it's because you're saved.
That's right. Amen.
Remember that.
Right.
You're saved. You can trust God.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we humbly ask you, Lord, please to help us. Help us, Lord God, to be willing to be broken so that you can bountifully bless and multiply